Welcome to Mastering the Attention Economy podcast. I'm your host, Ari Lewis. Twice a week, we interview entrepreneurs, executives, and industry leaders on how to break through the noise and capture the audience's attention. Today's guest is Jen Hartman. Jen has been with John Deere for nearly a dozen years, and as the public relations director, leads the company's PR and social strategy.
Hi, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So Jen, you know, first off, you're at, I would imagine people at who are listening are pretty familiar with the company, but it's really interesting. You know, I'm on social a lot, and there's sort of different verticals within, you know, Twitter, for example, where people talk about, you know, fintech Twitter or fashion Twitter. You know, can you talk about ag Twitter and what that is and
sure.
how that plays an important role in social strategy for you?
Sure. So ag Twitter is a thing. And I would put it up against fintech and others, simply because I think farmers have been using Twitter, were early adopters, like a lot of technology. Farmers and ranchers, are at the forefront of a lot of technology tools and innovations that help them in their work. And I think they found very quickly that a tool like Twitter could connect them to each other, right? The ag industry is unique in that it is so spread out, right, between communities. And individuals don't always have a chance to learn from one another the way we all might through professional associations and other things. So if you look up the hashtag ag Twitter, you will find a very robust conversation and community between farmers and ranchers sharing best practices, sharing insights on their equipment, seeking counsel and advice from one another, and oftentimes really just a sense of support. The ag community really does year by year face significant challenges, and they're in it together, right? Last year, if you recall, prior to 2020, if any of us can remember prior to 2020, there was just a really horrible weather across the country, a lot of flooding in the Midwest that really wreaked havoc on planting season. And ag Twitter is where those farmers connected with each other and sought support, shared insights, and connected in ways that I think, helps them not only professionally, but, emotionally, provides that moral support that, all of us need. And certainly ag Twitter is where they can find that.
So, one of the things that I think you've done a great job at John Deere is positioning John Deere as an innovative company, right? It's been around for almost 200 years now. Yeah. And it was, went from a farming, technology company, but now like you're cutting edge, you're almost, you guys look like a Silicon Valley type, a Google, a Facebook. But, with social strategy, it's a lot of interactions with people on social media and Twitter. Mm-hmm. You also have this PR narrative too. And some of those people, they're not on social media. They're still looking at industry publications. How do you align those two things, showing that, yeah, you're cutting edge and you have to do that by showing it on social media, but how do you also show that through, PR and through, industry publications and associations?
I think, the biggest thing for us is showing and not telling. And I think sometimes for a company with the history that Deere has, it's a little bit hard sometimes to get out of that muscle memory. And it's a lot more than saying you're innovative. It's demonstrating it, like you just said, in how we use our channels. And that does include PR. I think one of the things all of us in communications of any sort, whether it's social, PR, brand, creative, there is no singular channel anymore. If you're sharing employee communications internally, you can expect that that's also going to be shared externally, right? There's no line between how we communicate anymore. Communication is so readily available across every channel we support. So I think first and foremost, it's making sure we're completely aligned. And for Deere, that means, our public relation teams are working very closely with our marketing and communications colleagues, with our sales teams, with the employee communicators, corporate communications, to make sure that that message is aligned across those channels. And if you are, you know, that journalist that's covering John Deere, whether it's a new product introduction or a new innovation, that consistency is critical, whether you see it on social or you're learning about it at a trade show or farm show, which, by the way, has really forced a lot of companies like Deere this year to think creatively about how we launch products. Farm shows are such a core tactic in terms of how we've always demonstrated those new products and innovations to our audience, whether that's potential customers or media. And now our PR teams are really taking a look at how they can bring those news stories to our media outlets virtually. So we've got a lot of teams that have already done some news conferences online. And I think we'll be continuing to explore that. I think, you know, another thing for me right now, I'm in the middle of evaluating how we serve up news to media in more innovative ways. So precisely to your question, if we as a company have a narrative that's speaking to innovation and how we're supporting our customers with those innovations, then as a PR professional, I've got to be sure I'm serving up that information in innovative ways and taking a look at our channels and doing more than just a traditional news release, but thinking about how we make it easy for reporters to cover us with easy access to content.
So one of the things that you guys do at John Deere that I really liked is these daily huddles. You know, can you talk about the daily huddle, but really specifically also touch on how you guys use that to create narratives to pitch to journalists and to reporters and to help use that as a way to show, sure, oh, here's some interesting stuff that John Deere's doing.
Yeah, I think what the daily huddle has done for us is really help with that consistent narrative and that alignment across teams. It's been an idea generator, right? If you're just trying to come up with stories and narratives that you might be able to pitch to external audiences or share on social, it doesn't really work to do that in a vacuum, right? So if we can, in that huddle, and for those of you that have seen it, we share media coverage and we share what's being talked about with our competitors or with tech companies, so that we can generate ideas and plant the seed to think more outside the box. And to collaborate with the teams that receive the huddle, because what we do is we have that huddle in the morning, but we report on everything we shared, and then we send that out to our internal stakeholders. So I think that huddle has helped with that consistent narrative and helped drive new ideas and thinking in how we serve up those stories.
So can you talk more about the way that, you know, the social team and the PR folks work together, right? A lot of PR pitching now is being done on Twitter. They're finding, you know, reporters mm-hmm. tweeting stuff and then they're DMing them. You know, do you see the social team flagging for a PR person, hey, I saw this tweet? Is it them working together? What does that process look like?
You know, Deere is on a journey right now for more proactive PR. We've been a very humble company historically. I just took on the role as PR director March 1st, right at the onset of the pandemic. So we haven't had a lot of time to build that robust, proactive PR strategy. So I would say, as much as anything, our social team, who reports up through me, which is great. So we have PR and social all on one team. I would say the social team is really that first line of information, defense, reputation, risk mitigation, so that we are listening to what's happening online, paying attention to any mentions of Deere, alerting colleagues if there's any issues that do need to be addressed from a PR standpoint, and preparing to respond should we get any questions. So right now, I would say the social team plays more of a risk mitigation role, and listening and providing insights. But certainly we are looking at more opportunities where we could build those media relationships through social.
So, you know, on the risk mitigation front, what are some of the ways you guys are proactive in making sure that, you know, you're not wading into controversy on social, right? Because I've seen a lot of companies sort of take missteps and companies that you wouldn't even think of taking missteps in ways during the pandemic and during the protests. So how do you guys strategize that? How do you train the social team? Because I think social is such a difficult job, and there's these PR aspects to it too. How do you train them to make sure that, hey, they understand the social side, but they also understand the PR side and the potential blowback if something they tweet that might be innocuous, you know, turns into a crisis for you?
Yeah, I think one of the things we maybe do a little bit of a disservice in social media, and that is that we tend to focus, I think, a disproportionate amount of time, energy, and conversation on the content and what we are posting to our channels, either organically or paid. Either way, we spend a lot of time talking about content, and content certainly is critical. But I don't think we're paying enough attention to the role social plays in listening and monitoring and tuning into trending topics, trending conversations, aligning those conversations with any implications for your brand or organization, and determining if there's any potential risks that could be associated with your brand and that conversation, right? It's not the sexy part of social. A lot of times, and this is, I think, part of the challenge, is that so many social teams are strapped for resources and content that performs well is very visible, and internal stakeholders will celebrate that. You can spend a lot of time preparing for a crisis that never happens. And that can feel, when you are a resource-strapped social team, like wasted effort, until you have a crisis that hits that you weren't prepared for. And then suddenly people understand just how critical it is. So I think it's on all of us in the industry to continue to pay attention to the challenges that are presented to social teams, to make sure our internal stakeholders understand just how important and critical it is to have governance in place. You talked about inadvertent events happening. You know, one of the things I'm really proud of at Deer, and it was well before my time in social, is that when they launched their social program, the priority was on governance and making sure we had checks and balances in place and training and, you know, stringent security measures to enable our teams to be independent around the world, but at the same time, have some really strong guardrails in place to prevent issues that can otherwise happen on teams that don't have those same measures in place.
So if you weren't at Deer and say you were advising, you know, CEOs and C-level executives at other companies, what would you be saying to them to convince them that, you know, social and PR, they're not cost centers, but they really need to be looked at as profit centers, because they can literally be the difference between, you know, you having a good quarter and a bad quarter if something goes wrong. You know, how do we change that narrative, and how do we explain that to people that, you know, this is something you need to invest in and you need to spend more time and more money on social and on PR?
You know, I actually think we're at a tipping point right now. It's a great conversation to be having with those leaders right now, because, like I said, I think we're at, and I don't know if it's because I'm in this new role or because of the crisis events of 2020, but I've just never in my 20-some years of communications have seen such a convergence of all of those channels I mentioned earlier, and how critical it is for employee comms, corporate communications, social, paid advertising to all be aligned. I think now more than ever, social is where people turn for the latest information. It's where recruits turn to understand what kind of company you are, what you stand for. It's where investors follow to understand how your company's responding to events like 2020 and understanding who you really are. I think it's one of the most authentic and raw opportunities for companies to position and differentiate themselves in a world that is actually really cluttered. And if we don't start paying attention to it, or if an organization ignores just how critical that role is, I believe they're going to be left behind and they're missing a huge opportunity. And by the way, I say that knowing companies like Apple and Nike that don't depend as much on social do have the advertising budget to make up for that. Some of us don't have that. So it's one of the most cost-effective measures to really, you know, connect with your customers and, you know, speaking, you know, to sales to really target with paid advertising dollars the individuals that would be most effective for you to reach.
So, you know, in terms of reach, one of, I know your favorite tweets and a tweet that I really thought was great was, you know, when Joe Diffie died, you guys tweeted sort of a tribute to him. You know, can you talk about the origins of how that tweet came to be, but also, you know, how that was, you know, an organic tweet. And then it really, it spread across the whole company. And I think it resulted in some earned media as well. And sort of, right, you've talked about this more theoretically, but really this practical study and practical approach of this specific tweet.
So, you know, to me, one of the reasons a tweet like that sticks is because, and to me, the most effective and powerful social media is in the moment. When you are able to tap into what a population or a community of your followers are feeling and experiencing, and if you are able to authentically join that conversation in a meaningful way, that's the most powerful way to connect with your audience. And it has to be genuine, right? I am not a big fan of the brand chat thing, the play off of that brands will often play. I think it works for some brands. It's very rare that Deere will jump into those. One of our, you know, guidelines is it's got to be relevant, and we've got to be able to tie it back to our brand in some way. But before any of those moments can happen, like that Joe Diffie tweet, you have to have already built up a very strong understanding of who your audience is, what matters to them, and what your voice is in that online conversation. To just jump in without much attention to listening prior to those moments, you're going to have those missteps. You're going to come across tone deaf, and you're not even going to know you did. Until it's too late.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I think it was a great tribute to, you know, someone who obviously wrote a song about John Deere and who, you know, there was a clearly close connection between, you know, Joe Diffie and John Deere the brand. But you know, as we wrap things up, you know, the question that I always ask is, you know, as you've only been in the job since March, but you know, since in the few months that you've been in the job, you know, what's like one lesson that you've taken away, and what would you be doing differently, you know, if you went back to March that knowing what you know now?
Gosh, that's a great question. I think if anything, what this experience since March has reinforced for me, and it's something that I share frequently in my Twitter feed, is that sometimes we get very caught up in planning and strategy and documentation and creative blueprints. And all of those things are important. And all of those things provide valuable direction and consistency, right? When we talk about alignment between cross-functional teams. But if anything, 2020 has taught us is that there's not always a roadmap, and there's not always an apparent answer right in front of us. And more than ever, each of us has to lean on our own gut instincts and take a chance. Trust the experience you have. You know, I had a manager that used to tell me, everyone's great at something, right? Trust your colleagues, trust your organization to the extent that's possible to do the right thing, and don't be afraid, to follow the path you believe is the right path to take. You know, you learn as you go, and any mistakes that are made, typically you're the only one that really feels, sees them, or is hurt by them. So keep plugging away.
Great. Well, Jen, thanks so much for joining today. Really appreciate it. For those of you who are listening or watching, can you share with them where they could follow you on social media, or, you know, if they want to maybe work with you at John Deere, where they could apply for a job?
Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn, of course, and then on Twitter at Jen Allison, JenAlyson.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining. I'll have her social links in the description on iTunes and on YouTube. But until next time, everyone. And Jen, thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great talking to you. Thank you.